not always as they appear. Anybody ever been surprised to find out the truth? You find out the truth and it shocks you. It floors you. It devastates you. Because you know what? As humans, we form an opinion when we look at people. I'm not accusing you of judging, but we have to be truthful. When we look at people, we form a judgment. We form a judgment. It's a natural act. Peter and John in Acts chapter 4, we're going to be there, camped out there for a little bit in 4 and in 5. Peter and John had just got freed by the council. I'm nervous. Y'all are beautiful, but you make a brother nervous. If you don't believe me, look at my socks. Woo! It's a rough morning for y'all that missed it, so, okay? It's a rough morning, I told you, brother. I was in a hurry, focused on y'all, okay? Peter and John had been preaching the gospel, been given the gospel. The council pulls them in and says, don't preach that stuff no more. Don't give God's word. Do not give the message no more. We're going to free you. Peter and John say, thank you for freeing us, but we will continue to do what God leads us to do and what God calls us to do, and that's what we're going to do. Once they were released, Acts 4:24 tells us they went back and got with their group of followers and their companions, and at that moment, in one accord, everybody was together on the same page, one accord. They lifted their voices to God. 4:28 tells us, they asked God to put his hand on them, his hand of protection on them to take care of them where they were at. And they said, God, we want to go speak the gospel. We want to be bold and courageous and give your gospel. But Lord, I'm a human as I stand here. I need your protection. I need your protection on me, on these folks, so that we can go and we can do that. And when they prayed, the ground shook. In California, they call it an earthquake. Here we call it the Holy Spirit, God working. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and told to go right then, go forward and do it here. Okay, go. During this time, they were in infant stages. They were just crawling. Everything appeared to be going good. That was my mother. I'm like, that wasn't me. Everything was going good, okay? We would say today, happy, 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 kumbaya. Group hugs, unity, everything was awesome. Everything was happy. Complete group of folks committed to each other, okay? Everything isn't as it appears. Some of you look up here and go, he's got a head full of hair. But if I lean over too far, you're going to see that today I'm growing more scalp than I am hair, okay? You will realize that. So that's why I will keep my chin up, so you don't realize that. You can just keep assuming that it's hair, okay? Look around you right now. Take a look at the people sitting around you. You've done it on Sundays. Today's no different. Think about the people you work at. You all think the same thing I do. I just say it, okay? Look at the people next to you. You ever said, perfect marriage, perfect health, perfect hair. Oh, they ain't Kennards. They got the perfect kids, you know. Perfect finances. Look at her, perfect weight. Look at him. He don't have none of this. Everything is perfect. Perfect smile, perfect teeth, perfect talent, perfect. Don't it make you want to just reach over and punch somebody? Just all that perfectness. You realize how many of us come up with all that perfectness and we label a person strictly off making a glance at their appearance? We don't even know them. On their appearance alone, we made that assumption and assumed that they are all that. All that from right there. Like I said, it was easy to say, hey, he's all put together until I showed you my socks. Okay? Yeah, I told y'all make a person nervous. You know, one of me and 100 of y'all. So, makes you nervous here. But the great thing about these socks is I have a matching pair at home. Okay? I have a matching pair at home. Okay? The early church, they had everything in common. Everything. Acts 4:32 tells us now. Okay, it tells now all of those who believed were one heart, one soul. No one said any of the things that belonged to him was his own or hers. They had everything in common. All was good, no greed, no selfishness. This group had come together. They owned cattle. They owned lambs. They owned houses, all this stuff. And they put it all together. Whatever people needed, this group was going to get it. They were selling all their stuff off, all their belongings, and selling everything. And they would come back and lay it at the feet of the disciples and say, Do what you need to do to cover people. Take care of all the needs we have. Can you imagine that in 2015? People actually caring for people that have needs? In this community alone? Can you imagine that? Wednesday night alone, I was sitting right there, and a homeless man walked in, and we fed him. We fed him, and we put him up for the night. People need it. My wife brought up a great point to me yesterday, and it kind of humbled me. She goes, that man came in homeless, and we had to put him up for one night in a hotel. And she goes, we got an empty house sitting here. I go, I hadn't really thought about that. Pretty humbling. You know, not as they appear. With great power, the apostles were given their testimony, given grace, you know, given glory to God for God's grace, his mercy. They were lifting him up. They were leading these people. We talked about Sunday school, God's love. They were showing God's love to the other people around them, given a testimony, and people believed it. They were laying it down. Joseph, another gentleman here, sold the field that belonged to him. He brought the money in and laid it at the feet. Again, everything is just appearing to go good. Everything is appearing to go great. You know, awesome, you know. Scary, scary. Then we go to Acts 5. We're going to go through verses 1 through 11 with Ananias and Sapphira. But a man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property. And with his wife's knowledge, he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. Peter, who's led by God, listens to God. He says, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? Why has Satan filled your heart? At that very moment, everything seemed to be going good. You know, everybody's on the same page, chipping in. Everybody's doing their thing. You know, no ownership, no selfishness, no self-centeredness. And at that very moment, we found out that Satan was controlling Ananias' heart. Everything that appeared to us to be hunky-dory, great, good, kumbaya, happy, 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 it's not really that. It's not really that. Satan controls Ananias' heart. You know what's real scary about this? If we leave the door open, Ananias can control our hearts of every single person sitting in this sanctuary today. Quick and easy, Ananias happened. We could be in the same position, the same predicament. You open that door and give the devil an opportunity. He will control your direction, your leadership, and your heart. It's that easy. Nobody's off limits. Okay? Doesn't matter how you dressed, how you look, weight size, Satan's sitting there waiting to pounce. He's absolutely waiting to pounce on us. 1 Peter 5:8 tells us, be sober, be alert. Your enemy is the devil. Your enemy is Satan. Like a roaring lion, he's waiting to pounce on you. He's waiting to prowl. You ever heard somebody say, man, devil's not messed with me all week. He's had nothing to do with me. It's been all good. When I hear that, I get nervous for people. Okay? Because if you're on the devil's team, he's not going to invest anything else in you. He's already got you. I wake up every day and I got some problems. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Because I know for a fact whose team I'm on. I'm on God's team. So I'm going to get pounded every day. When I wake up and have five good days and I go, I'm going to get scared. Okay? Because the devil doesn't have a job. He doesn't take naps. Okay? He doesn't take a Facebook break. He doesn't go Twittering. His main goal is to pounce on me, you and me every day. Whatever opportunity he can get to pounce on us, he will do it. By any means, he will do it. He would love to do it. He works extra hard to do it. You realize Ananias' sin was not selling his property or keeping the money. He said, I'm selling my property. I'm going to keep my money. His issue was that he had a lying heart. He lied to God. Sure, people have lied to God. I've lied to God. Yes, I've lied to God. Yes, I'm going to answer for it. And that's the thing to remember. We will answer for it. It's not a matter will you get by with it. It may be a month, it may be 6 months, maybe 5 years. But I will answer for those. As Christians, we will answer for lying to God. It's going to happen. Okay? It's going to happen. I shamefully tell you that because I've come. Christians know nothing's off limits with God. Nothing's hidden from God. But in my wee human mind at times, I try to make that appearance thing again that I got by with something. And I've done it. No, I haven't. I haven't got by with nothing. God's waiting in His will and His time, and He will discipline me. He will for sure discipline me. We know as Christians, it's a no-no. We cannot lie to God and get by with it. You know, we cannot. Okay, Acts 5:4. While it remained unsold, it did not remain your own, he's telling him, Peter said. And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? You could have done what you wanted to do. Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You've not lied to man, but you lied to God. It's bad to lie to man, but it's awful to lie to God. Because God knows. He absolutely knows. There's nothing He doesn't know. When Ananias heard these words, he fell down and took his last breath. Great fear came over all those that heard it. Why the fear? I mean, Ananias died. Why the fear in the crowd? Why do you think the fear in the crowd? Ananias died. Wasn't me. Wasn't you. Why the fear? The fear because we're capable of doing what Ananias did. And we can do it way better than Ananias did. We have that fear. That's why there's fear. Because when in reality you put yourself in a position and you go, I could be that same guy doing that. I could be the person living the lie. I could be the person telling the lies. That's why the fear. Fear comes in because you know what? You could put yourself there in a split second and go, that could be me. That could be me. I could do that. Fear set in. Young men rose. They wrapped him up, carried him out, and they buried him. God takes action. At that case, He took immediate action. Immediate action. You lie, you die. And at that moment, He did. Nothing will go unturned. Again, everything to this point has been going great. We could stand at that glass window and go, how awesome it looks. They look good. They're doing good. They're eating together, breaking bread together. Everything is so great. Just like looking at the people that sit next to you. Oh, man, they look sharp. They look good. Everything's going good. In all reality, that may not be the case. Okay? That may not be the case. And I want you to know, there is so much more than appearance. There's so much more than an appearance. God's people deserve it. They absolutely deserve it. Now it's the wife's turn. After an interval of about 3 hours, the wife, Ananias' wife, Sapphira, came in, not knowing what had already happened. Peter says to her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. At that moment, he gave her an opportunity to not lie. He gave her an opportunity to change the course right there. And she chose to continue to lie. Basically, he says, did you sell it for this amount or did you sell it for this amount? You tell me what you did. There's that free will that God gives us to love Him or not love Him, to serve Him, not to serve Him, to be a part of His kingdom or not be a part of His kingdom. We're not robots. We're humans in flesh that He loves. Peter says, how is it that you've agreed to test me, to test the Spirit of the Lord? Behold the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out too, and they will bury you by your husband. You lie, you die. That's what happened at that moment. This hit home with me because I've played this same kind of game in my Christian walk. And I guess the Lord spared standing in front of me or putting Peter in front of me to make me take my last breath. But it's an eye-opener. Because if you're a Christian, then you know that it's real. It is very real. It can happen today, this second. Immediately she fell and she was taken outside. And great, great fear came upon the whole church who heard all these things. Okay? If you were scared when Ananias dropped to the ground for lying, and now he took his wife, if you wasn't scared first, which I don't understand, you should probably be real scared now, because two people are gone for lying. God does not play. God does not play. Okay, he is very serious. Okay, very serious. Appearance, they were a good couple. It would be easy to appear, Brother Mike, that they did a great thing. These people sold their house and brought in a chunk of money and laid it down. Everything was great. Just another thing in Scripture to show you, how much do you know about the people that are sitting around you? How much do you know? How much do you really know about the people that you're going to spend life with eternally in heaven? How much do you really know about them? You know 45 minutes a week? So I'll round that up and give you 4 hours a month that you know with them? Or 8 hours? Three times, I'm not good. I'm better than the pastor was, our old pastor. So, yeah. You add it up, it's not a lot of hours a week to say that you know when you're sitting and you're listening to people like me, okay? Appearance. Some of you say, he looks good. Some of you told me. I never wear a white shirt, so I'll let you know that's what the difference is. I don't wear white, you know? White's like that holy color, and I'm not holy, so everybody, that's why I'm more white here. But it would be easy, in appearance, and some of you said it this morning, man, you look good, you know? But in all reality, you know, to go with my nice socks, you know, it's just things happen, you know? It's life. Appearance. He speaks. Hello, son. Welcome. It's... Hey. Thank you. I kept the tag on in case I need to take it back. A wise man, or I'm selfish or stingy, but, you know, don't worry, it's tied in a knot. My pants are staying up. But it's a 15-year-old suit, and my wife's a good cook. She's learned to be a good cook. So I eat good, you know? Yeah, well, that was another story. But my thing is appearance. We base relationships and we base love and how much somebody means to us, and I'm going to spend eternity with Jason Horn. I love Jason. Where's my brother? And if you ask me a serious question, I don't know nothing about Jason Horn. But then we tell the leadership, we need to go outside these doors and we need to do the ministry and we need to pound it and we need to go it. And my response is, how do we go recruit those folks when you don't know a whole lot about the very people you're sitting next to? How do we go bring more people in the church when you know very little about the people you're doing life with, that you like to say, I'm doing life with? If you don't know me, you need to invest in me. I need to invest in you. I need to know more than your name. We need to have a relationship. But we have to invest. God's people are worth investing. That's why I'm not worried about a new shirt. But I worry about you. How can I love you? How can you love me if you don't know me? How can we love people in this church if we don't know these people in this church? And in that same breath claim that we have a responsibility to go outside these doors and know people. Really? So are those people outside those doors more important than you people? And your walk? Are they more important than you? I don't think so. I know Brian Lewis, and I know what sets him off. I know what encourages him. You think I'd be a better contributing brother to Brother Lewis than what I am now, if he knew what was me? Now we get these little flares that pop up in church, and we go, I can't believe that happened, Brother Bob. I can't believe it happened. Really? Shouldn't surprise you, because we all don't really know each other that well. We have to invest in each other and quit trying to build a relationship on appearance and go, appearance is everything. Appearance isn't anything. Okay? Appearance isn't anything. Appearance is what that sad world out there wants you to think, that every woman should be a size 6 and every man should be about 6'4", 200 pounds, bulging. Well, you know what? There's about 6 of those people in my life I've met, and they paid to be that way, okay? This is all natural, okay? Oh, yeah, that's all. I'm telling a lot of peanut butter here, you know? All that, pancakes, pork steaks, you got it, you know? This is it. Things are not as they appear at an eye glance. If you've ever been judged on an eye glance, sometimes it hurts. It has hurt. So why do we do it to others? We can't. We can't use the excuse, I didn't do it on purpose. If it's been done, it's been done. Okay? It's been done. If we're going to get past what we think we see to what we really know and continue to build on unity and on strengthen our relationships with each other, we can't do this on the speculation of a person's appearance. We can't do it. We have to invest, even in that person we think doesn't like us. By the way, Scripture says we don't have an option to not like somebody. We're to love them and love them more. God's command does say, no like about it, it's love. So if your brother or sister in Christ, you're to love them. There's not an option there, okay, to love them. So how do we know each other? How do we grow to know each other more? And to love each other more. Y'all quit looking at my belt. Ain't nobody getting it. It's all mine. How do we do that? We make phone calls to people. We take people to lunch. We visit with people. It doesn't have to be ours. Sometimes the best information is gathered in minutes. Cut to the chase. You know what, Anthony? I want to know you. And we're going to get to know each other, brother. Yep. I'll take you lunch. That's a good free one. You got me on the pulpit. You got me. That's a good one. Hey, we know where he voted, okay? Ain't no secret there, but thank you. Next one's on you. But how do we do if we're going to spend eternal life together? We're going to grow as this church we claim to be and all the Christians that we claim to be with the goal of going outside, Matthew 28:19, go make disciples. How can we go make disciples if we're not good disciples? That's a question you have to ask yourself. I ask myself that all the time. We have to ask ourselves. In closing, we're going to say things are not always the way they appear. Hopefully, after you've heard some of the shenanigans I've done, you take a second thought and you go, people are deep, okay? Invest in people. Invest in people. Ask questions. They get bothered, ask another question. But don't assume looking at them that you've got that person pegged, you've got that person figured out, you know them. That's not fair, okay? That is judgment, which we're not supposed to do, and that is not fair. You've got to invest in people. And you invest in all people, okay? Because I'm going to tell you, when I'm walking through the crowd and I don't know nobody, I'm looking for somebody who's got a hot rod shirt on, or I'm looking for the guy who's wearing a camel hat. Because I know I can talk hot rods and I can talk hunting. I need to be looking for the guy that looked like he just came out of the library. Step out of my zone and invest in a person and get to know a person. That's what I have to do. What do you have to do? Ask yourself, who would I probably not approach? Pray about it and approach them. Talk to them. Get to know them. Because I promise you, I could prove this fact. I could ask every one of you questions in this room today about everybody else that's in this room, and I promise you, I could send you all with a big F. Home with an F. I know that. And I would go home with an F too. That's how important it is. We're going to grow. We're going to love. We're going to teach each other's kids. We're going to encourage young couples to get married. We're going to encourage their families. How are we going to do that if we don't? We've got to invest. Brother Nate, can you come on up, please? Understand this for your own life. They chose to lie. But even bigger than the lie, they chose in their life to see how far they could push the bounds of God before God corrected them. They chose, they made a conscious decision to go, how far can I push God until God stands up and says, no more. No more, church. No more, Carl. You're not going to deny me. You're not going to lie to me. You're not going to hurt me. You're not going to do these things. And Scripture tells us they lost. Everybody here has an opportunity to win. To win. You no longer have to lie about the person you are, the situation you have, the condition you're in. I promise you, you are not alone. If you need help, ask. Because if I need help, I'm going to ask you. I am going to ask you. But if we don't do this as a family, I just don't know how far you can go if you're not a family. I do not know. I want to do church, and I want to do this with my family. My wife, my mom, my brother, my sister, my brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what I want to do. No fakeness, no nothing. I want the real you. Because you're going to get the real me. That's what I want. No more parents junk. Parents doesn't matter, okay? Does not matter. That's what I want. I'm going to ask you. Everybody here has a burden. If it's not a burden you're carrying, it's a burden you're carrying for somebody else. The stage is open. Leave it at the cross. Or you can pray where you want, where you're at. But turn it over to God today. Turn it over to God and say, no more. I'm not worried about parents. I'm giving this to you, and I'm leaving it to you. And I want you, God, all my faith for you to take care of it. You. Help me to get past the parents. Help me to build relationships with brothers and sisters in Christ that mean something to me. Why wouldn't you want to invest in somebody that may be teaching or leading your children? Caring for your parents. Caring for you. We left that appearance out the door. We just booted it out the door. You got stuff on your heart, it's open. Please come forward. Please. People will be here to pray with you. You might, you know what? It may be time for you to say, you know, I want to be a member of this church. I want to be baptized. I want to come by statement of faith. That's up to you. Only you know if God is speaking to you. But if he is, don't deny him. Come up. Please. The Lord is talking to you, please. Come on up. Oh, some hurt, some burden. You know people that have needs, if not for yourself, to lift somebody else up. I spoke to a lot of people this week that have hurt. This is your opportunity to leave it right here. Turn it over to God. We're not going to stay open forever, folks. Do not miss the opportunity. to leave something here, but to be prayed over by a brother and sister in Christ. Do not miss it up. Do not walk out the door and go, I wish. We don't get wishes back. You've got this opportunity.